wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Why are we sick? Who knows? God does not vaccinate or immune his people from sickness, affliction, or infirmity, but in such experiences they learn what Christ can be to them. If Christians were never sick, others would scorn them as living in glass houses, protected from the distresses of others. But when Christ saves one, he is left with his distresses, both physical and material, so as to show him and the world what Christ can be to one right in them. My Christian mother visited shut-ins, and among them was a woman so infirm she scarcely left that one room in 38 years. To visit her was a benediction, so great was her peace and joy in the Lord Jesus. I led a man to Christ who had a cancer on his face. Christ could have, but he did not remove the cancer. It got worse, until few could stay long in the room for its repulsive odor and appearance. But as they left, they said, "I never saw anything like that." Like what? That man could smile in his pain and rejoice and speak of his Savior in the midst of his agony, and God was glorified. As I preached his funeral, those people wanted to know what made a man like that. It was the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the very one who enabled Paul and Silas with their bleeding backs to sing praises unto God. Sickness is first mentioned in the Bible with Jacob. Now Jacob lived in the open air with his flocks. He was a rugged man, but though his health lasted till old age, yet even Jacob became sick unto death. Jacob was such a man of God, God called himself the God of Jacob, yet he too must experience sickness unto death. We also read of God's mighty prophet Elisha, who did such miracles on others that he was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Many are the Bible cases of men of God who are taken with sickness, even when they were pleasing God in their lives, and some of them became sick because of their devotion and service for the Lord. Their sickness was not the result of sin, but of their godliness. This was a real tester to their faith. It was a puzzle to the world, but it was to the glory of God. Here are a few cases. Nehemiah, beholding the sad condition of the Lord's people, laid it so to heart and so prayed night and day that he became sick with a sorrow of heart. Then Daniel, learning from a heavenly vision the desolation of his people, fainted and was sick, so great was his devotion to the Lord's people. And in the New Testament, Paul said of Epaphroditus, "He ministered to my wants, and that he so labored that for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death." In those days, as it is today, all sought their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ, and they failed to support those who went out preaching the gospel. So, to keep the gospel work going forward, this faithful brother Epaphroditus worked day and night to earn the needed funds so that he almost died from it. Some may say, "Why didn't the Lord strengthen him for that noble work?" Let me help you see the Lord's perfect wisdom in this. Those selfish Christians who had not given to the gospel work needed forceful rebuke. Paul taught them by letter, but they heeded not, so he gave them an object lesson. Hearing their brother Epaphroditus was so deathly sick, they visited him. They were deeply moved as they saw his worn-out body, and Paul told them how it happened, saying, "We were out on our gospel trips and we had no funds, so we worked night and day at tent-making. We looked for some help from you, but it never came. So we worked so hard, his health broke." What a lesson! Surely they left that sick bed confessing, "Oh Lord, I made thy dear servant sick, for I never helped him with his gospel needs." When they learned that lesson, then the Lord recovered Epaphroditus. Now, neighbor, was that good sense or not? God is no fool. His ways are perfect. Many a missionary has had to come home, worn out from gospel labors, even to die, to awaken Christians to the fact that the mission field needs both labors and funds. Shame on us Christians that we need such drastic lessons. The Bible also shows that God has his time to heal and his time to leave even his servants sick. In his early ministry, Paul the Apostle did many wonderful acts of healing. But as God withdrew those sign gifts, Paul himself was left with an infirmity of the eyes that made his presence and preaching unpresentable and made difficult the writing of his epistles. Though he prayed so earnestly to the Lord to remove it, yet the Lord did not, but gave him grace to bear it, saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul submitted and even gloried in his infirmity. Godly Timothy had a sickness of his stomach that was so weakening, and Paul could not heal it, but prescribed medicine for it. Was this defeat for the cause of Christ? After all the healings in the days of Christ and the early days of his apostles, you might think so, but instead it was victory. Let us anticipate heaven for a little. I see a stream of saints asking, "Where's Paul?" Do they seek him to congratulate him for his sermons? No. Listen, "Brother Paul, I was cast down into deep sorrow, and I read of how the Lord left you after all your faithful service with your distress, and said to you, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.' Those words just came from Christ to me too, and I just can't tell you all they meant to me." With similar words, the saints file by. Then I see Paul bow again at the feet of his Lord and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm overwhelmed by all this. I thank thee, oh, I thank thee, that thou didst not remove my infirmity." Neighbor, don't judge God by our cramped vision. God knows what he's doing. You can count on that. Our Lord Jesus could easily heal us, but instead he says, "In your sickness as in your health, in your poverty as in your wealth, in your infirmity as in your strength, in your failing mind as in your days of your clever brain, I will care for you and be merciful to you. I will stay with you all your days, and then I will bear you up to in my everlasting arms. I will give you grace for every trial, faith for every challenge, light for every dark night, comfort for every sorrow. I will not let you be tested beyond strength, and my grace will be sufficient for you all the road home." Neighbor, this is my beloved Lord and Savior. Tell me, don't you appreciate love and wisdom like that? You know you do, and you need a friend like that, don't you? Your hospital insurance may pay for a hospital bed, but it certainly won't give you an unfailing friend by your side day and night. Your burial insurance may pay for a casket for your dead body, but it won't give you a living Savior to take you home to heaven. You need my Lord Jesus. Years ago, a man named Ben came to my gospel meetings. He was an alcoholic, had wasted a fortune, was a physical, social, and spiritual wreck. As I told him my beloved Lord Jesus, Ben said to himself, "I need David's Lord Jesus." Soon he became Ben's Lord Jesus, too. Ben entered a new life, and you ought to hear him pray and thank God for the dear Lord Jesus. Neighbor, you need Ben's Lord Jesus. He will never fail you in sickness or in health. In life or in death, Jesus never fails. I remember my mother reading a letter from a preacher's widow as she told of her last night in her son's home as he was going to take her to the poorhouse the next day. After the year she had served the Lord, she couldn't understand this. She felt like she just couldn't take it, and that night she broke down and wept. Right then, the dear Lord Jesus said to her, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Her sorrow ended. The Lord Jesus will go to the poorhouse with me. He will use me there as his witness. No more tears. She knew the Lord would be with her, and that was enough. Neighbor, hear me good. I'd rather be in a pit, a lion's den, or a fiery furnace with Jesus than to sit on a throne without him. Amen, brother. Me too. I hear from thousands of you who love Jesus. And that woman, going to the poorhouse, might have shown her son his wickedness and led him to repent. The Lord let Paul stay in jail so as to reach those of Caesar's household for Christ. Truly, God's ways are past finding out. In the Bible, we also read of how God smote people with sickness in punishment, as he said, "I will make them sick because of thy sins." Jeroboam's sin brought great sickness by disease. In the New Testament, church at Corinth, they so desecrated the Lord's Supper, the Lord smote them with sickness. In James we read, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. This is not endorsing a preacher's healing campaign, but it is the Lord sending sickness on Christians who have sinned against the church. Doctors and medicines fail to heal them. This awakens them to their sin against the church. They call for the elders of the church, confessing their sin. The elders, discerning their real repentance, pray for them and anoint them in the name of the Lord, and the Lord raise them up. We Christians should daily examine ourselves and judge ourselves in the Lord's presence so as not to need sickness to awaken us to our sin. But as we have already learned from the Bible, sickness may be a mark of devoted service for Christ and not of sin. Of Lazarus we read, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And so it is today. The dearest, choicest saints are often sick. But as with Lazarus, such sickness is for the glory of God. When people say that all sickness is of the devil, and they rebuke it in their ignorance, they are often rebuking God who has sent the sickness. May the Lord have mercy on them, for they know not what they do. What should we do in sickness? Our Lord said that they that are sick need a physician. Paul prescribed medicine for Timothy. Dr. Luke cared for Paul's body. So Christians may avail themselves of the God-given ability of surgeons and doctors, but be careful. Godly King Asa, in his disease, sought not the Lord but the physicians, and he died. Go to the Lord first and do as he leads as to doctors and medicines, but be sure to always put the Lord first. Our Lord can heal miraculously without surgery or medicine if it is his will. Three evils exist today. One is to refuse the knowledge and skill that our God has given to doctors. This we should accept as God-given for the blessing of men. If your arm broke, would you let it hang there and expect the Lord to heal it? Or would you try and reset it yourself? Or would you accept the skill that God has given to a doctor while you seek God's blessing on any means used? The second evil is to depend on men. This results in running from one doctor to another and only getting worse, while your body gets loaded with high-powered drugs. Like the woman of whom we read, she had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. The third evil is increasing as men arise claiming ability to heal and people depend on such instead of the Lord. Some will not go to a doctor, but they'll run to one of these modern healers. They also are trusting in man just as much as the one who goes to the doctor, though not a doctor, yet a preacher. And bitter disappointment they can expect. It is good for Christians to pray one for another that we may be healed. But it is not depending on any certain one, but depending on our God who answers the prayers of his people. May there be more of such prayer meetings. I discern that in these last days, our God is in a marvelous way showing his power to heal. And I would urge Christians to depend more upon the Lord for their body. But remember this great Bible principle. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. If one uses his body for his own lusts and appetites, he dare not expect God to give him relief from the consequences of his evil desires. But the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. As I first use my body for the Lord in serving him night and day, when it breaks down under the strain, I can claim his promise, the Lord for the body, as I go to him in prayer. How sad that so few Christians have so used their bodies and can claim this promise. Christians should have many experiences of the Lord's direct healing of them as they prayed to him. My wife and I have experienced such. In the midst of a gospel campaign, I was taken with an acute fistula. It was agonizing and crippling to my gospel work. The surgeon diagnosed it as impossible except by the night. I asked the Lord. He led me to go on preaching. I did. He so removed it, doctors could not find a trace of it then or now either. In every case, we are to seek the Lord's will. King Hezekiah was sick unto death. Isaiah said, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The king wept sore and prayed, and God reversed his own decree. Figs were applied. The king recovered and lived 15 years. But, B-U-T, but, In those years, he had a son, Manasseh, Israel's most wicked king. What big lessons we can learn from this. Surely God's will is always best. So let us pray, let the will of the Lord be done. But some Christians think we should convert the world by healing campaigns and demonstrations. Our Lord Jesus came healing diseases, cleansing lepers, and even raising the dead. Some think that if we could do just that today, that people would become Christians. Not so. For the multitudes who saw the Lord Jesus do those miracles were the very ones who crucified him, crying, "Away with him, crucify him." All healing ministries have and will fail. It is the gospel of Christ that saves souls, changes lives, and transforms homes. The ministry of healing preceded the completion of the New Testament scriptures, but now we do not point to signs, but the sure and eternal word of God as we hold out our Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, to all men as the answer to all human need now and forever. We have no spectacular healing campaigns so often staged by others. We sell no healing cloths, but we do pray for those in distress, and we have had some wonderful answers to prayer, all to the glory of God, in whose name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. One more Bible case. Let us go into a field with King David. We see on the ground a human body, a young man. Is he dead or alive? He is breathing, but his pulse is weak. Food is given, and he revives. For 3 days and nights he was in that field. What is his story? Listen, folks. My master left me because I fell sick. That young man served a master, but when he got sick, his master left him to sleep with the wild animals and to die of starvation. Young folks, your master, the devil, will do just that for you. Our Lord Jesus told those who serve sin, the world, and the devil just what they would experience in his story of the prodigal son. Your masters will take your money, your talents, your health, and your personality, and then leave you to perish with hunger in a hog pen. But if the Lord Jesus is your master, he will not fail you when you're sick or leave you when you're too feeble to work. Jesus never fails. I cannot offer you in the gospel of Christ healing of all your bodily afflictions, but I can offer you an unfailing Lord and Savior who will never leave you nor forsake you, and who will make your sickbed a little vestibule to heaven, as is grace with the very presence of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I beseech you, neighbor, turn to my Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him to save you. Surrender to him to be your Lord and your master and your God, and do it now. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.